If you love donuts and Taco Tuesday is always on the calendar, welcome to the greatest place on earth.
Yeah, it's a weekly regimen.
The gym.
Everyone at the gym knows you haven't been there in a decade because they're on their Nike high-tech gear. You show up in jeans and leg warmers.
It's time to tune your body.
We're going
to
do 85 push-ups.
To shape up so you don't have to ship out.
Now use your abs to keep your toes, knees, and hips facing the floor.
Put your life in motion and survive with the fittest.
Thomas Jefferson said, revolution can start in the muscle.
This is A Good Fit with Ted Geis.
Hey, yeah, you the trainer here?
Empowering you to be all that you can be.
Push it. Come on, it's all you.
Live from the iHub Radio Cardio Clubhouse, here's your fitness master, Ted Geis.
Hey, welcome to A Good Fit. I am Ted Geis, and you're on the iHub Network here at iHubRadio.com for the next 2 hours of health and fitness talk radio. Oh, it's good to be in the studios. Hi, Mr. John McMullen. How are you?
Hey, Ted.
Yeah?
How are you?
Okay, you feeling Phyllis a fiddle these days?
Oh, no.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about that. You're over 40, right,
John? I'm almost 60.
You're almost 60.
I'm scared to say that. God, well, I think that's the first time I've admitted
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you kind of came out on radio here tonight. Glad you guys could be here for this. So
I can't be old like you guys.
Well, listen, if you are a dude over 40, tonight we're going to be talking about some of the worst things you can do for your health. You know, we try to put a positive spin on everything, but you guys got to hear some of this stuff you don't want to ignore. So we're going to go all over that today. We're going to give you a gym update. When they're going to be opening, a GeForce workout update. We're going to talk about what this special month is and what today is as well. And a couple of other things. We're going to talk about your mental fitness tonight. We didn't get to that last week. And we're going to talk about it tonight. We're going to talk about your balance. 7 tips for you to stay more well-balanced. And we're also going to do a little carb talking tonight about how you shouldn't be afraid of them because they're everywhere. You just have to eat the right ones, okay? So that's all coming up. Hey, a big shout out to my GeForce Workout crew. I love you guys, and I'm glad that you are here listening with us. And if I can find my glasses, we'll be in good shape, John. All right. Anyway, let's go. John, it looks like the gyms are now going to open up on March 8th. Okay. That's kind of what I said. I think the proof is going to be in the puddings, but that's what they're shooting for indoor gym openings. So last week it was the first and we missed that. So we're trying for the 8th. So keep your fingers crossed, folks. Hopefully that will happen. But in the meantime, I'm still doing my GeForce workout 7 days a week. 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. That's what I meant to say, at Ruth Hardy Park on the basketball courts. So it's free. It's fun. Come get a great workout and, you know, meet lots of fun people. So it'll be good for you to get up and get out and see other people and have a great workout. Okay. Again, that's 7:30 a.m. Monday through Friday. Ruth Hardy Park, right there on the basketball court. You can park by the tennis courts or on the Tamarisk side. Come join us, okay? So, excuse me, John, do you know what day or what month this is?
Yes, it's Women's History Month. Oh, God,
I'm so proud of you. Yeah. Oh, my God, where'd you pull that out of?
I just did something about it yesterday the air, and I know that this morning on the Tuesday morning edition of The Hangout that Jeremy Wayne was talking about it.
I'm so proud of you guys. That's so good. There's a lot of information out there. It's a whole month long. Educate and celebrate.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. Now, yesterday was a really fond day of mine. It was National Peanut Day.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, March 1st is National Peanut Day.
I just had some mixed nuts before we walked in the studio.
Mixed nuts even better for you.
Yeah.
Peanuts are really good. We're going to talk about the health benefits of peanuts in honor of yesterday's National Peanut Day. All right? So anyway, thank you guys for listening in. Let's get right into it. You know, Johnson & Johnson a couple days ago said that they got their COVID vaccine approved. And I think that's pretty exciting news.
For people who, like I saw last night, Rachel Maddow on MSNBC admitted that she was squeamish with needles, hated them.
Really?
And so she was very excited that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was out, because if it meant that she could potentially, by the time she's eligible to get her shot, could get the vaccine just once
one
instead
shot.
Of twice,
yeah.
That was a upside.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, I always find that fascinating that people are that afraid of a shot, and I wonder what's behind that. Like, you know, bad dreams with it down in the drain, trying to poke them or something. I don't know. Well, Johnson & Johnson, they said they've already begun shipping nearly 4 million doses of its newly authorized COVID-19 vaccine all across the U.S., and it's expected to further scale up supply in the coming weeks and months. So that is very hopeful. That means we've got three out there. We've got Moderna, Pfizer, and now Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine. So they really think within by today and in the next 24 to 48 hours, Americans should start receiving those shots in their arms of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So that's a great thing. The Food and Drug Administration and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention signed off on the vaccine over the last weekend. And again, that makes it the third one to receive authorization in the United States. It's also, as John said, the first single-dose vaccine to receive the blessing of U.S. authorities, and the only one that doesn't require ultra-cold storage. I think that was a big issue, especially with the Pfizer one.
Yep.
Yeah, the Moderna didn't require quite as cold of storage, I guess, but the Pfizer, that's a big problem, especially for underserved areas, third world countries, places that don't have that.
Yeah, you start getting out even in places across the United States, like Texas and other places where you've got to go a long way to some communities from major metropolitan areas. And the ability to keep it that deeply frozen or cold.
Right.
You know, when it has to be like 95 degrees below zero.
It's amazing.
Fahrenheit. That is really amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. John, I just realized something.
What's that?
You know the thing about my glasses earlier?
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was wearing them. Gosh, that doesn't bode well for me, does it?
I guess not.
Dang. I do that every once in a while. I'll look for my glasses. They'll be on top of my head or in my hand, you know, and I'll run around.
And there they are, right there on your nose.
Yeah, there they are. Yeah. No wonder I could see this.
Right?
Don't tell anybody. Okay, don't tell anybody. So Johnson & Johnson's addition to this vaccine arsenal that we've got going on, is it'll be a little limited first, but the company officials expect to scale up the production real soon here. And the head of the company said he's committed to delivering 100 million doses by June. And get this, up to 1 billion by the end of 2021, 1 billion doses. I mean, that's quite a production. So when they say 100 million doses by June, that means 100 million vaccinations and patients that will have been treated. And that's a wonderful thing. So those folks are all pretty excited. They say they're going to work hard to make sure that they follow through on this commitment. And they realize the importance to the country and the whole world. So that's a great thing. Now, the White House's COVID-19 response coordinator, Jeff Zients, he said at a briefing on Monday that 3.9 million doses of the J&J vaccine will be distributed to states, to tribes, to territories, pharmacies, and community health centers. That's real important. Tribes, territories, pharmacies, and community health centers this week, and it's starting today, he says. So we're getting these doses out the door right away, he says, to ensure vaccines get into the arms of Americans as quickly as possible. Now, the number represents the entirety of Johnson & Johnson's current inventory, okay, that almost 4 million. So it will be a little limited, as I said, in the coming weeks, but company bigwigs say the company expects to deliver some 16 million additional doses by the end of March alone, 16 million, and it's predominantly in the last 2 weeks of the month, okay? It's being allocated based on population, just as the Pfizer biotech Moderna vaccines are, and the federal government will continue to monitor the distribution to ensure all three are offered in a fair and equitable way, he said, because I think there's been a lot of confusion in people's mind who gets it when and where, especially in underserved communities. So You know, they're working hard to ensure that they'll continue to increase the overall vaccine supply, increase the number of vaccinators, and increase the number of places Americans can get vaccinated. So there's a couple of gals I want to talk about. There's a couple of gals right here in the Coachella Valley. And I posted about this, and it was in the CVD Independent as well, by Jimmy Bogle. And these two Coachella Valley residents, they noticed that people were struggling with getting the vaccine, getting the appointments for it. And so they noticed this by having to do it for friends and relatives themselves. And so they got together, they put their heads together, and they found a way to make it easier for you. And it's Rhea Hoffman and Callista Vasios here in the Coachella Valley. And they decided to find a way to make it easier for people to get online and get an appointment for a vaccination. So they started something called Vaxi.info. That's VAXIE.info. Okay, Vaxi, and it's the brainchild of these kind of self-described Coachella Valley partners in crimes. It's free online vaccine researcher, and it's available to any Riverside County residents. There's also a Facebook page that you can go to, which is Vaxi Info, and that attracts a lot of people to it. I went to it. It was very interesting. I'm really proud of these women for doing this. It started when Rhea Hoffman, she offered to help her parents book their vaccine appointments. And she did a lot of searching, and she was really frustrated, like I'm sure a lot of us are, but she finally made an appointment. And she's a teacher by trade, and she says she works with a group of seniors helping them with Zoom sessions. So she just asked them the next day that she was in class after helping her parents, does anybody else need help making an appointment? And at first she thought, okay, a couple of people raise their hands, but what happened is fully half the class raised their hands. So she ended up helping about 20 seniors in that class alone to make an appointment within the week, the next week. She got really good at figuring out how to do this. And I think that's a learned skill that it took her to do this. So the first online appointment tool that was developed by the Riverside County was, let's just say it wasn't very intuitive for its users. it was pretty dicey. So whenever a new batch of appointment slots were made, the site would get overwhelmed. Sometimes it would just shut down or become sluggish. I heard a lot of people talk about that. And so this kind of made Rhea and her buddy here talk about how to do this without the county site and make it better. And they did that. So check it out with Vaxi. They guarantee that if you're qualified, you'll get an appointment within 48 hours. Vaxi, okay, .info. Check it out. So we got a lot more to talk about on our next segment. Don't go anywhere. We have, we have a little bit more about the J&J vaccine. We're going to talk about the nutritional benefits of peanuts and why mental fitness is so important. That's all next here on A Good Fit at iHub Radio. I'm Ted Geisen with John McMullen.
Fitness. It's not a four-letter word.
Okay, slight major exaggeration.
If that's what you're looking for, well, you could try carb.
Will you guys quiet down? I'm trying to concentrate on my cardio.
Or maybe lazy.
Man, we're cooking today.
But hey, we're not here to shame anyone.
Your giving partner is somebody you can vent all your emotional problems to.
Whether you're 18 or 80, A Good Fit with Ted Geisen is your weekly dose of inspiration and advice to get your fit on.
This morning I was brushing my teeth and I saw a muscle in my arm for the first time.
Congratulations.
Here's iHub Radio Fitness Master, Ted Geisen.
Hey, welcome back to A Good Fit. I am Ted Geisen. I'm in the studios, the iHub Radio studios tonight with Mr. John McMullen, and we're talking all about your health and fitness. And John just gave me a great tip for my raspy voice these days, right?
I did.
Yeah, herbal tea, right?
Herbal tea with honey and lemon.
Honey and lemon. You know, that's something that I probably knew but needed to be reminded of. I just did some tea with lemon earlier in the week. And
all professional singers,
yeah,
broadcasters, you know, people who make money with their voice, they have learned over the years that it's not some old wives' tale.
Yeah,
It's the answer.
I'm going to do it, John. Thank you for that tip. So, hey, let's get back to, we were talking about a couple of things, the new J&J vaccine and keep you healthy and keep you going. Now, a lot of people in my class G-Force Workout have been second vaccinated now. And a couple of them had to take a few days off because they felt kind of crappy for a day or two. And so I hear that is more common with the Moderna than it is the Pfizer vaccine. However, the Moderna seems to be the one that's most available. So now with this third Johnson & Johnson vaccine, it's a one-shot deal. And so the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Rochelle Walensky, she's talked about several advantages of the J&J vaccine. And the first one is that it can fully inoculate people who may not be able or willing to return for a second dose. It has easier storage, doesn't require that deep cold storage, and transportation, meaning it can be delivered to and administered at more community settings. And that is really important because there's so many underserved communities out in the boondocks, way out in nowhere on territories and reservations and stuff that aren't getting the service. And there's underserved communities right here in the Coachella Valley too. So if we can get more vaccine available easier to more communities, it just makes good sense for all of us. So having multiple types of vaccines available, especially ones with these different dosing regimens and different storing and handling, it just offers a heck of a lot more, you know, flexibility, and more people are going to get vaccinated. So so public health guidance urges eligible individuals to opt to receive which, and this is important, to opt to receive whichever vaccine is available to them first. Let me repeat that. They're urging eligible individuals to opt to receive whichever vaccine is available to them first. Guidance said officials stressed repeatedly when they came out with this approval on Monday. So the head of the White House's COVID-19 Health Equity Task Force, Dr. Marcella Nunez-Smith, acknowledged that some people might prefer a certain vaccine. I get that. But she urged them to be flexible. If people want to opt for one vaccine, she says, over another, they may have to wait. And time is of the essence here. Getting vaccinated saves lives.
From everything I hear, Ted, yep, it sounds like Moderna has the worst record in terms of not effectiveness, but in terms of side effects.
Yeah, side effects. That's what I hear, too. And that's the experience people are coming back to me and telling me, like I say, several people in my class.
It's usually their second shot.
Their second shot.
The Moderna, yeah.
Yep. The second shot does it. And apparently it can achieve, I mean, I've read things that it can achieve up to 80% efficacy with the first shot. So by the time you go back and you get that second shot, you're amped with it. And I think that is really, really part of these side effects that people are having. You know, I'm no doctor, but it makes sense to me. And it can be anything from headache, a slight fever, to you gotta lay down. You're extremely fatigued. So be prepared for some side effects from the Moderna. Now, I've also heard a couple of people that have both vaccines, not a problem. So it's not a given that you're gonna have side effects, but be prepared and know that it's possible. And don't freak out about it. If they get too bad, of course, call your physician, call your doctor, go into urgent care and see what's going on, if it lasts more than a day or so. Most people say they're better within a day or two, you know. Yeah. And so you know, be on the lookout for that. So
you're not going to die, but you could if you don't take it.
Yeah, that's the whole point. There's worse things than getting the shot and having some you know, some side effects. So, cuz all three vaccines are safe. They're highly effective, and they
actually
work.
They're saving good things too. AstraZeneca's their vaccine was approved this week in Canada.
In Canada, that's right.
And at first there was a lot of concern last month that it might not be good. There were reports out of places like Madrid and other foreign countries and cities where they had been writing about the fact that it may not be as effective with seniors,
right?
The 65 plus crowd, but it turns out now that they have data that shows that it is.
It is. That's wonderful to hear. I mean, who would know that it, you know, wouldn't be? Yeah, that's so good to hear. So folks, things are looking up. We got to stay vigilant. You got to wear your masks. You got to wash your hands. You got to physically distance. Okay. So keep doing that because that's really important. Don't give up the fight just yet. Because we're not there, but we're getting there. Good news is on the horizon, okay? All right, stick around. We got lots more to talk about here on A Good Fit. I'm Ted Geist in the iHub Radio Studios on the iHub Network, sitting in with Mr. John McMullen tonight. Stay tuned.
If you've just finished up with leg day, take a load off. Ted's not going to know you're sitting there listening.
Rough weekend?
Well, unless, of course, you join in the conversation.
Uh-huh.
In which case, give your digits a workout and call the fitness master himself.
Okay, well, I will give a call.
760-544-8255. That's 760-544-TALK.
I want to hear what you think.
Or if you're afraid he's going to hear you making popcorn in the background, just send a text.
No argument there.
760-699-0202. That's 760-699-0202.
Hello, flabby, out-of-shape family. Check out my bulging rippliness.
Fresh off doing burpees, here's Ted Geist with more of A Good Fit on iHub Radio.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to A Good Fit. I am Ted Geist in the studios today here at the iHub Network on iHubRadio.com with John McMullen. Hi, John.
Ted.
Nice to have you. Nice to see you. Nice to be here with you. Hey, you know, after my show is the fabulous Jocelyn Kane, right?
She's going to get you buzzed.
All right, on the buzz. I love her. Yep. I love that show. And she's going to be talking to Mr. Brent Berman. He's a cultivation entrepreneur and the president of the Coachella Valley Cannabis Alliance Network.
CBCAN, who is the organization that powers that show on iHub Radio.
Right on. And Brent's going to be talking about the pre-Proposition 64 days and how it differs from the big business it all has become now. I think that's a pretty interesting history, right?
Probably so.
Yeah. That starts at 3 p.m. right after A Good Fit today with Jocelyn Kane. Don't miss that. So, listen, we covered the Johnson & Johnson vaccine pretty well there. So now we need to get on to more important news. And that is, since yesterday was National Peanut Day, I want to talk about the benefits of peanuts. Now, John mentioned earlier that he was having mixed nuts, and that is even better. I totally support mixed nuts because that way you can get a variety of nut fats and omega-3s and different vitamins and minerals. But peanuts are really good. Now, here's the deal. They may have a fair amount of calories and they may have a fair amount of fat, but there's some really big health benefits too. So whether you crush them into peanut butter or you eat them out of the shell or you sprinkle them over a salad, they're a really popular and healthy snack. So you like peanuts, right?
I love them, and I'm glad that I am not like some cousins of mine who are allergic to them and can die from them.
Peanut allergies.
Yeah.
Do you remember? I don't remember peanut allergies when I was growing up. Do you?
I only do because one of my cousins had it really bad from the time we were young kids.
Isn't that funny? Because I never, and bless her heart, I never heard about it until I was an adult and got into the health and fitness business. And then it seemed like nut allergies, but in particular peanuts, right?
Now they have to have those, you know, those shots available in case something they eat has not been labeled right and has nuts in it and all that because they, you know, I don't know, their throat closes up and stuff like that.
They get that whole big swelling and what do they call it? The anaphylactic shock or something like that. Yeah. Well, you know, according to recent surveys of 2,000 adults across the country by the market research firm Mintel, 64% of adults said they'd eaten peanuts within the past 3 months, and that's more than those who've said they'd eaten almonds, cashews, pistachios, or trail mix. So peanuts are by far the most popular, even of all those.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Especially when you factor in things like peanut butter.
Yeah.
You know.
And the price.
Yeah.
Okay, peanuts are relatively, compared to other nuts, they're relatively inexpensive. And so they make a good, healthy, and expensive snack.
I think all nuts are so overpriced.
You do?
But,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I get it in terms of how they have to be harvested and all that. But they are so good.
Mm-hmm.
I love the taste of nuts. I have them my whole life.
So have you ever seen a peanut tree?
I have not.
No.
No. Although I've been to Georgia, and I probably should go see a peanut farm sometime.
Yeah, you should, because it's not a tree.
Yeah.
Peanuts actually
come out of the ground,
a legume. Yeah, yeah, they come out of the ground, whereas an almond comes off of a tree.
Yeah.
So peanut is actually a legume, a bean, but it's just like a nut, and it crunches like a nut, and it tastes like a nut, and so it might as well be a nut, right? But almonds,
and
cashews.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
And sometimes you don't.
Yeah, yeah. You have to go to the trail mix tree to sprinkle those in there. So almonds tend to, I love almonds, and I love cashews. Those are my two favorite nuts, along with peanuts. But those two are a little more pricey. And pistachios, of course, are. Walnuts are. Walnut. What's the best nut, John? Did I just say it?
For me?
No, for people. What's the healthiest nut?
I don't know, but I'll just tell you. I love cashews, and I love...
Yeah.
They're like the walnut, but it's not the walnut. It's the pecans.
Mm, pecans, yeah, yeah, exactly. Walnuts and pecans are very good for you. Walnuts in the first place there.
And by the way, I also love macadamia nuts.
Oh, yeah.
And I lived in Hawaii.
Yep, that's right, you did.
You know, for a while, or out in Hawaii. And yep, when you go out to the Big Island of Hawaii, it's really funny to drive by like one of Mauna Loa's plantations.
Right.
Because you think you're going by a prison because they are protected by 14-foot fences with razor wire,
exactly,
around them. That's how valuable they are.
They are. They're like gold. They're Hawaiian gold.
Yep.
That's right. I learned to really like macadamia nuts too. They've got that buttery something about them, and they're just so good.
They're super fattening
and they're kind of pricey.
Yes.
Yeah, in the scheme of things. So that's why peanuts represent a really good value. Now, just an ounce.
And by the way, they also give chocolate a reason to exist.
Oh, they do. They do very nicely. And you know what?
Because I actually like the nuts more than the chocolate.
Yeah,
I
agree.
But I do like chocolate-covered macadamias.
I agree with you. I had a neighbor in Hawaii when I lived there on Maui. She used to make, every Christmas, she would make traditional Hawaiian candies and things like that, but she would always make two kinds of chocolate-covered macadamias, milk and dark. And I really learned to like the dark. And I'm not a big dark chocolate eater. I wasn't until recently. And So
you get a little healthy with the fat.
Yeah, healthy with the fat. Yeah, exactly. So... just an ounce of dry roasted peanuts has, so you should know this, it only has 166 calories and 14 grams of fat, leading some people, even some health pros, to put them in the category of a sometimes food. I don't feel that way. And here's why. Because there was a recent survey of about, they said 760 plus dietitians, general practitioners, and nurse practitioners in New Zealand. And they revealed that they were more likely to recommend that their patients eat tree nuts, such as almonds, cashews, pistachios, and walnuts, over peanuts. And most of the GPs and nurse practitioners rated peanuts as slightly less healthy than tree nuts. Okay. So... There is a misconception that because they don't come from a tree, that they are a legume from the ground for some reason, that they're slightly less healthy. Those beliefs are pretty misguided. And that's offered up by Vasanti Malik, PhD. He's a research scientist at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. And he says peanuts are actually really, really healthy. They're certainly high in calories and fat, but the fat is good fat, okay? And we need fat, okay? You can't live without fat. That's why diets that restrict, you know, you to no-fat foods, which I think is just ridiculous, and certain food groups, they don't really work. peanuts are technically legumes, like we said, but they're grouped in the nuts category because they have a similar nutritional value. And they're a really convenient source of protein. They come with the added benefit of really healthy nutrients such as antioxidants, iron, magnesium. They're full of fiber. They're good for you. And the majority of fats in peanuts are heart healthy, mono and polyunsaturated fats. And those fats can help lower your LDL, your low-density lipid cholesterol, all right? And numerous observational studies have found that eating peanuts is associated with many benefits, especially for the heart, for the ticker. Yeah. So,
boys, that's why I'm fat, and that's why sometimes they call me a nut.
They call you a nut. Sometimes you feel like one, John. A 2017 Harvard study, what's more, is of more than 210,000 people, found that those who ate two or more servings of peanuts per week had 13% reductions in risk of cardiovascular disease compared with those who didn't. That's pretty good. That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Two or more servings of peanuts a week, I could do that easy, right?
Right.
Okay. And that's a big reduction, 13%. And several studies have also found that peanuts may be good for your waistline. Ha ha. So much for that fat content. A 2017 study published in the European Journal of Nutrition found that people who ate the most nuts, including peanuts, gained less weight and had a 5% lower risk of becoming overweight or obese over the 5-year study period compared with those who didn't.
Hmm.
How about that? Numbers don't lie, right? Okay, so yeah. They're high in calories, but because they're so rich in protein and fiber and all that good stuff, you can also feel full without overeating on them. They give you a feeling of satiety because of that good fat content.
Of course, one of the other things about peanuts, though, that people have to be careful of is, I mean, it's one thing if you're eating an unsalted nut.
Right.
But they can be really high in sodium.
Yeah, they can.
Because there's a lot of them that have a lot of salt added.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you can find dry roasted unsalted, that's a challenge with peanuts or any nut, actually. Buy them. And now I just eat unsalted peanuts. Now I have gone for the mixed nut category that they come out with that's called lightly salted.
Hmm.
So you do have an alternative now. I guess the industry heard that salt was and they're really good. There's just enough salt on them to make it really good. And the mix I love the most, John, is pistachios, walnuts, cashews, peanuts, and there's one other in there, and I can't think of it. Anyway, that's a good, healthy mix. So peanuts have about the same amount of calories as almonds, as cashews, as walnuts, but guess what they're higher in besides fat?
What?
Protein. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. With 7 grams of protein in an ounce of peanuts. That's exceptional. In just 1 ounce. They have nearly twice as much as walnuts, for example. And walnuts are favored by most nutritionists and dietitians as the best nut you can eat. They're only second to almonds in terms of fiber.
Well, that's only because those people in that profession have bad taste.
I'm going to tell Beck. Beck, you said that. Beck McDormand. So now walnuts, they're really, this is why walnuts are so good. They're rich in heart-healthy omega-3 fatty acids, right? We know that, but peanuts stand out for their arginine content. Do you know what that is?
Arginine? I don't know what arginine is.
It's an amino acid, and it's a building block of protein. So we really need that, arginine. And it helps to improve your blood flow by relaxing constricted blood vessels. So hence the heart-healthy aspect of it. All right?
Okay.
So peanuts require, here's that, they require less water to grow. And they're easier than tree nuts because they're in the ground. You soak the ground, the water goes in, you're there. Trees have to be soaked from the bottom down. The roots have to pull it up into the nuts. So they're generally less taxing on our environment and they're cheaper. They're better for your wallet. So nuts can be expensive. We hear it, but peanuts are actually cheaper than the lot of other nuts out there. And they are just as good, if not better for you. So don't forget that. That's what I got to say about those nuts today. All right. So next coming up, we're going to start talking about the 40 things you guys over 40 shouldn't be doing to stay healthy. Okay, I'm Ted Geist. This is A Good Fit, in with John McMullen at iHub Radio.
If you had Apple Jacks or Flapjacks this morning, it might be time to think seriously about Jumping Jacks.
Burn!
This is where the Coachella Valley comes to talk about fitness and nutrition.
I hope you like turkey, because that's what we're having.
So, whether you're a gym bunny...
That gym is so gay, they only have a back door.
...or you don't know jack shit about getting or staying fit...
Here's the deal.
The fitness master loves everyone all the same.
I think that's the way to do it.
iHub Radio presents A Good Fit with Ted Geis.
When you walk into a room erect... You say, here I am, deal with it.
Could you stop flexing and posing and pull the microphone your way and do the show? Attaboy.
I'm happy to pull the mic my way and do the show. Hi, welcome back to A Good Fit. I'm Ted Geis in the iHub Radio studios tonight with John McMullen. John, we were talking about nuts and their benefits when we left. And before I get into the 40 things guys over 40 you shouldn't do if you want to stay healthy, I want to talk to you about some mental health, mental and emotional health too. You know, it's so important to not only exercise your body, but to exercise your spirit and your mind and to have emotional fitness, as they say. It all goes hand in hand. So many times people come to the gym and what they think they want only is just to get physically fit, but really what it turns into is they want to do some healing. They want to get mentally fit, emotionally fit as well. And those things tend to come out when we're personal training. You know, you spend a lot of time like I do with people on a one-on-one basis. You learn a lot about them and you start to talk about things.
I thought they just wanted to go to the steam room and get a date.
That happens too. You know, whatever type of fitness, you know, you like, you're probably well aware by this time that exercise, it's a really important piece of your overall well-being fitness puzzle, right? We need to take that same proactive approach and apply it to our mental well-being too, all right? You need to be an active participant in your own mental health and emotional health. I think when people think about mental health, the first thought is, you know, what's wrong? How can we fix it? Right. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about working on mental health before there's any issues, just like you do take proactive steps to keep yourself healthy so you don't get cancer, so you don't get this or that, right? It's the same sort of thing with your emotional self. Think of it as doing emotional push-ups or an emotional plank or something like that, all right? So there are generally, experts say, 7 traits of emotional fitness, okay? And what we see is that when you think of any type of emotional growth, it's going to fit into one and often many of the categories, okay, of these 7 traits of emotional fitness, all right? And these traits seem to resonate for all types of people, whether you are a business person, a leader, a person in relationship with somebody else, in individuals who are struggling, or other people who feel perfectly fine. This seems to be cut across all strata here. So what's the first trait of emotional fitness? It is self-awareness. Okay. This is the first trait, because it's really hard to develop or change anything if you're not able to see it. You know, the first step is all about looking inward, getting in touch with yourself and being willing to go forward, you know, self-awareness. The second trait of emotional well-being and fitness is empathy. Do you have empathy for someone else? You know, if self-awareness is understanding and tolerating your own emotions, well, empathy is understanding and tolerating other people's emotions. The trait that involves putting yourself in other people's shoes, okay? That's what I've heard it described as more often. Put yourself in someone else's shoes. Actually do it. Consider and actually care about what other people in your life are going through. And then let yourself really feel what they're feeling, okay? You can't, you know, there's that old saying, walk a mile in my shoes. All right, so you can't absolutely know and feel everything that someone is going through, but you can come pretty darn close by listening, by talking with them, by trying to understand what's going on with them, and then dealing with that, trying to put yourself in their place, basically. All right. So the third trait of emotional fitness is mindfulness. What's mindfulness? You've probably heard it. It's used to describe being present in the moment or in touch with your inner self. All right. This emotional fitness trait takes on a slightly different definition. Mindfulness is becoming more comfortable being uncomfortable, right? So you've got to learn to sit with your feelings and be uncomfortable. Stay in the moment, feel your feelings. And if you're not staying in the moment, it's probably because there's something uncomfortable about it. So by building that muscle, that emotional muscle, you'll get better about staying in the present. And when you stay in the present with something uncomfortable, it leaves you sooner. Okay, you'll feel different again. You won't always feel uncomfortable, and that's the thing you have to remember. So the fourth trait of emotional fitness is curiosity. Who to thunk it, right? Our ideas about curiosity is what's it look like to pursue growth over defensiveness, let's say. Curiosity, you want to question how you can become a better person, how you can become more aware. That means asking questions when you're faced with tough stuff, and rather than pushing back or dismissing it, right? We see people who all they do is push back and they get defensive, and that's not curiosity, that's not growth, that's defensiveness, all right? So this is all about being able to face the things that maybe don't feel so good to know in the moment, but you know, over time will help you be a better version of yourself, okay? So the fifth trait of emotional fitness is one I like a lot, playfulness, right? It's sort of a rule of thumb in say improv theater, for participants to say yes, and meaning that they accept when another play has started, and then they build on that idea, right? So you have to kind of use the same concept to your emotional fitness definition of playfulness. It's meeting people. Look at it this way. It's meeting people where they are, removing constraints, right? And being able to get to places that you wouldn't be able to get to if you shut down the conversation, or if you felt like you had to talk about why an idea wouldn't work. Instead, play with the idea, be open. Look at it as an adventure and a game, and open up, don't shut it down, all right? The sixth emotional fitness trait is resilience, all right? And that's sort of a buzzword a lot, resilience, but it's encouraging perseverance through hardship. In the context of emotional fitness, resilience is about bouncing back from your setbacks, from your failures. It's more than that. It's rather than just moving forward, it's important to unpack those things too, okay? And look at them and carry on anyway. The seventh one is communication. Right? You know that. It's always important to talk it out. Don't leave that one, those things unsaid. Make sure that you communicate effectively. You'll have better emotional fitness, and so will the people that you're talking to, okay? So next, in the next hour here on A Good Fit, we'll get into those 40 things my bros over 40 shouldn't be doing to stay healthy, all right? That's coming up next. Ted Geisen here with John McMullen, iHub Radio.